Relations between church and state have always been wary, sometimes quite strange throughout history, from Roman times to the present. Heads of state, kings, princes, presidents, have often sought to dictate to the church and even choose our bishops for us, mandate who should be a bishop. The latest, most famous example of this occurred with Pope Francis when the president of Argentina traveled to Rome and sought to force him to name her candidate for Archbishop of Buenos Aires, the replacement for Cardinal Bergoglio, when he became our Pope Francis. Pope Francis saw this coming. He knows history. And he sidestepped her and that threat by quickly naming one of his closest colleagues who had worked side by side with him in the slums of Buenos Aires. Almost exactly 100 years ago, in Mexico, in the 1917 Constitution of Mexico, there were 5 articles placed in that Constitution that were particularly aimed at suppression of the Roman Catholic Church, just south of the border here, just 100 years ago. Article 3 mandated secular education in public schools, prohibiting the church from participating in primary and secondary education, which means what we're doing, sending kids to Catholic schools, would have been against the law. Article 5 outlawed monastic religious orders, which means we wouldn't have our sisters here. Remember, they're from Mexico. Article 24 in that Constitution forbade public worship outside of church buildings. They were trying to contain everything about faith and religious inside buildings, inside walls. Article 27 restricted religious organizations' right to own property. Article 130 revoked basic civil rights of clergy. Priests and sisters and monks lost their vote. They could not vote in elections. They were also prevented from wearing their religious garb in public. They couldn't wear a collar in public, couldn't walk down the street in religious garb. I experienced that firsthand in Mexico back in the 60s. They were forbidden from commenting about public affairs in the press. Now, most of these anti-clerical provisions of that Constitution were removed less than 20 years ago, in 1998. Often in that time in Mexico, after 1917, there was violence against Christians, against Catholics, like we've seen with the persecution of, and murder of Christians in the Middle East and other regions of the world more recently. In Mexico, 100 years ago, 90 years ago actually, there was the case of San Miguel Pro, Father Miguel Pro, a Jesuit priest who refused to stop taking sacraments to the sick and communion to the sick. And he was sought by government officials to arrest him. He eluded them. The faithful hid him, and he continued to say Mass in their homes and to continue to minister to them. He'd been warned not to continue working as a priest. Now, eventually, he was arrested and condemned to death by firing squad without a trial. They made up some evidence and decided just to put him to death by firing squad. He was such a powerful force within the community. And we still have photographs. You can find them on the internet of San Miguel Pro moments before his execution, he asked to kneel and pray, and they gave him time to do that. Then he stood up. He'd been praying the rosary, and he held his rosary in one hand, and you have these pictures. And then the firing squad, boom! And he didn't die right away, so the officer went up and shot him in the head with the just at that moment. We have those photographs. Just before the firing, he shouted out at the top of his voice, "Viva Cristo Rey!" Long live Christ the King. There was a lot of that going on. There was José Luis Sánchez del Río. His popular name is Joselito. Pope Francis, just last month, proclaimed Joselito to be a saint due to some miracles that have been documented, even very recently, with regards to Joselito. They called that war the Cristero War. It was just 90 years ago. It was all over Mexico, and when the Cristero War broke out in 1926, Joselito's brothers joined the rebel forces as soldiers of the Cristero movement. His brother wouldn't allow him to go because he was just 14 years old. The rebel general, Prudencio Mendoza, who led the Catholic Cristeros, also refused his enlistment. He was just too young. And the boy insisted that he wanted the chance to offer his life for Jesus Christ and so come to heaven easily. His brothers were doing it, and why couldn't he? So the Cristero general finally relented and allowed Joselito to become the flag bearer of the troop. Not bearing arms, but bearing the flag of the troop. The Cristeros nicknamed him Tarcisius, which is one of our favorite saints in the early church, martyred for protecting the Eucharist from desecration at the hands of the pagans in Rome. When General Mendoza's horse was shot out from under him, Jose gave him his horse. But then Jose didn't have protection, and he was quickly arrested by the government soldiers who were trying to suppress the Cristeros. And they ordered him. He was a 14-year-old boy. So they tried to intimidate him to renounce his faith in Christ under threat of death. And he refused. 14-year-old boy. And to break his resolve, he was made to watch the hanging of other Cristero soldiers and that they had in custody. But instead, Jose actually encouraged the man, saying that they would soon meet again in heaven. Now, the government soldiers failed to break Jose's resolve. On the evening of February 10, 1928, he was in jail. They were torturing him. They had decided they were going to kill him with a firing squad, so they cut off the soles of his feet and made him walk to the cemetery on the other side of town. And he prayed across town, and they cut him with machete several times, and he cried and moaned, but he would not give in. The soldiers were coaxing him. All you need to do is shout, "Death to Christ the King." If you just shout out here in public, "Death to Christ the King," we'll stop harassing you and we'll let you live. 14 years old. And he said, "I'd never give in. Viva Cristo Rey!" And when they reached the place of execution, they stabbed him, and then they shot him, and he didn't die right away. So again, the officer did like he did with San Miguel Pro, and they shot him. San Jose was a soldier for Christ. He saw himself living in Christ's kingdom. He saw Christ as his king, just like San Miguel Pro, just like we're celebrating today in the end of ordinary time with Christ the King. Both of them, San Joselito y San Miguel Pro, died for their strong devotion to Christ the King. And both of them asked Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," just like the good thief did. And they believed Jesus' words to the good thief. He said, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's what Joselito had just said, told his companion who was hung. This past few days has been difficult for many after the recent election. We don't have anything as bad as what happened in Mexico 90 years ago. But some people are very emotional regarding the threats of mass deportation. It's not going to happen, and I tell them that it's physically and legally impossible, but they're afraid. And moreover, the church and the bishops have always been on the side of immigrants, and we have to remind ourselves for that. Some are greatly relieved after the election because of the end of threats to the church. I'm hearing this a lot from Catholics across the nation and people who work with the bishops, because of the end of threats made to Christian organizations. Many priests were fearful of being forced to perform homosexual marriages, same-sex marriages. That was a real threat. It was beginning to loom as something that, no, this could happen. Church organizations like the Little Sisters of the Poor have ended up in court, all the way to the Supreme Court, to avoid being forced to pay for abortion and birth control. I'm on the board of directors of Catholic Charities. We have sisters here who have their own corporation. It's not out of the realm of belief that that could have affected our diocese and our community directly. Our bishops were united against these laws. And we recall one of the presidential candidates referring to this, saying, "Civil rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper." And this was President Clinton, whose words were referring to the pro-abortion laws in Obamacare. "Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed." Sounds kind of like Mexico about 90 years ago. And she and her colleagues were well known for arguing for stronger government laws against the church, including taxation against the church. That's being discussed. That's been discussed. So there's a lot of tension everywhere right now, and the church is at the heart of much of it, just like we've always been for 2,000 years. And as Catholics, we must remember our history, and that our sacramental system makes us citizens of heaven first. And the saints and the martyrs understood this. San Miguel Pro and San Joselito understood this. Our home is in heaven. Our kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Our king is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say with those saints, "Viva Cristo Rey. Viva Cristo Rey."